And we're beginning in re adoption of David C. And you may proceed, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I am Dan Ryberg, and I am here representing the father of David C. In this matter in which the county court, acting as an adoption court, had a hearing. We have basically three issues, I believe, before you today. Two of them jurisdictional, one on subject matter, one on whether this is a final order, and the third one is whether or not if you get to the merits, whether the trial court was correct in declaring that there was an abandonment. And then there's the other thing, that if you do reverse and remand for further proceedings, we would ask that a different court be directed to hear the matter. The first one I'd like to address is whether or not there's a final judgment in this matter. In that regard, I point out page 7 of the transcript, which is the order of the court. And the order of the court determined two things, both things. It wiped all the issues. It says that my client has abandoned, and the court further finds that it would be in the minor's best interest to be adopted. So the court, in one order, found that it was in the best interest. There was no need for a further hearing.
Excuse me, counsel, but if there's a finding of an abandonment, what other standing does your client have to argue best interest?
I'm only arguing final order now. If we get to the abandonment part.
What? Why is it? If you're saying this isn't a final order, if the court finds that your client abandoned the child, you can't appeal that?
Well, I'm trying to close a gap. Yes, I'm saying I can't appeal that.
Then
that is a final order.
Okay, it is a final order.
But I'm just anticipating the argument that, well, it's not a final because it's brief. It's not a final order because the court is still supposed to do something. Well, it did it. So this is a final order, period.
Okay, so if the final order would be on the issue of abandonment.
It would be.
Okay.
All right. Then there is the subject matter jurisdiction that the county court never had subject matter jurisdiction to begin with, because there was a failure to either plead or prove the requirements necessary in order for the filing of a petition for adoption under these circumstances. It's a mandatory requirement. It's a mandatory filing. The statutes clearly require that the putative father be given notification before the filing. This was never done. That notification has to be a part of the pleading. That was never done.
Now, okay, so what does your effect of appearing at the hearing have to do with the notification?
It does not waive any kind of jurisdictional aspects, because you have to plead standing. And I mentioned those other courts, the other cases of, I mentioned it was an administrative law license revocation issue, where this court says you have to have a proper affidavit before there is standing, before the court has jurisdiction. I mentioned also...
What subject matter jurisdiction are you talking about? You're saying the county court doesn't have jurisdiction over adoption?
Not until they have a properly pled pleading in front of them. And they have that proper pleading has established standing. And this pleading failed to establish standing at the get-go.
I'm sorry, this was a petition for adoption, wasn't it?
It was a petition for adoption filed in the county court.
Right, so where's the lack of jurisdiction there?
The court does not obtain jurisdiction until jurisdiction is pled, properly pled.
What do they have to plead?
They have to plead the mandated notice 43-104-08.
Compliance with all those notice requirements.
Exactly.
Is that your position?
And it has to be, point 16, 104.16 says it has to be attached to the petition. Has to be attached to the petition.
So the petition needs to say, we've made these efforts with respect to the putative father, it's a go.
It's a declaration by the attorney for the Department of Social Services, right. Whichever.
Does that apply if there's an abandonment?
Yes. More so if there's been an abandonment, because the purpose of that notice, the purpose of that declaration, is to tell the court and to tell the putative father that we are doing something, we intend to do something here, and you now have 6 months to do something about it.
Or those efforts are fruitless.
Or the efforts are fruitless. Exactly. And, all right, I want to make sure that I, as far as that subject matter jurisdiction, without the attachment of the declaration that the attorney or the Department of Social Services had made notice to the father, there is no standing. There is no standing. There is no proper pleading. There is no subject matter jurisdiction to the court. If you get past that, which I don't believe you do, or even if you do accept the fact that there was no jurisdiction, and this matter is either reversed for, well, I don't know, there's no jurisdiction, it's reversed and dismissed, I suppose. But somewhere along the line, the facts are going to creep up again, perhaps, and I would address the facts that the court was wrong. If we get past all the jurisdiction, the court was wrong in its determination. First of all, the court never considered the 6 months. Abandonment occurs 6 months prior to the filing of the petition. That's the abandonment. That's when the conduct of the putative father has to come into play. There is nothing that
so
the court...
So I've never seen this child for 3 years, and then there's a petition for adoption, and now I can come in and start making my amends for to develop a relationship with a child. And you say it's only the six-month period you can consider.
I'm saying that that's what this court has said, and the Court of Appeals has said. It is not a, it is something that you can consider.
So you can abandon and then reestablish and then abandon again, and it's only the six-month period prior to the time you seek adoption.
Nothing holding. The six-month period certainly is a statutory requirement to be taken care of, and there is no purpose in having that six-month requirement.
So what did the father do within the six-month period that
he got counsel,
overcame the issue of abandonment?
He got counsel. He got to the Department of Social Child Support Enforcement involved. He filed an objection when this was... his notice, basically, before the petition for adoption was filed, he had already got to the district court. He was in the district court already, which means that the district court now has jurisdiction over the child. The district court never consented to any adoption. That's probably a collateral matter, but nevertheless, he took action as soon as he knew that there was an event coming up. And he took the action without the mandatory requirement of the notice. He took that action on his own.
But were all those actions that you just mentioned taken within the six-month period preceding?
Yes.
Preceding the filing of the petition.
Preceding the filing of the petition. That was filed on... adoption was filed June 26th. I'm sorry. No, he didn't get the file. Oh, the child support filed July 1st. But he had gotten Mr. Eaker as the attorney. Mr. Eaker had put him in contact with child support enforcement. So, yes, he had done those things.
When was the petition filed?
Petition for?
Adoption.
Adoption was filed June 26th. The child support filed July 1st. And least I forget, now this could... the unpublished opinions are, there's a lot of them, and they all kind of support us, and I know I can't say them.
But why don't we go back to the 6 months prior to June 26th? What contact was there?
What contact? Well, the contact was that he tried to do what he could to enforce his rights.
In what way?
And by retaining Mr. Eaker as the attorney to tell him what he can or can't do.
That has nothing to do with the care or the child.
I can't think of any, well, the court can't. Yes, it does. I mean, that's what you do. You go to an attorney to say, what can I do to enforce my rights to this child? This is what this woman
has
done.
Are you telling me that in an abandonment case, and someone has abandoned the child for 5 years, all he has to do is when they file a petition for adoption is to consult an attorney and get his rights and be advised by his attorney of what his rights are with regard to a child he hadn't seen for 5 years or 3 years?
Well, we're talking 2 years.
Is that your argument?
That's the argument that has been successful time and time again in some of the unpublished opinions. And this is not, he's not just abandoned the child, because you have a situation here where the mother has done whatever she can to alienate the affections. Now, that should be a consideration. That is a very much of a consideration. It was in these unpublished cases.
Other than seeing the lawyer, what else did he do prior to June 26th?
Well,
6 months prior to the petition being filed.
I don't know when it was that he saw Mr. Ika for the first time.
Okay.
He filed his... He
you understand he saw Mr. Ika, other than seeing Mr. Ika.
Well, realize also that he didn't know about these things 6 months ahead of time.
Well, he knew he had a child.
He knew he had a child.
And he tried to do what he could early on to see that child, but was alienated by the mother from doing so. We cited that case in here. That should be a consideration. That when a father has been told time and time again to stay away, then yes, okay, how long, what can he do? He sent a present.
Well, let me write down exactly what you say he did. In
early.
6 months following the petition for adoption, what do you say he did to establish his care and concern for the child?
He did what the law required.
What did he do?
He did what the law required.
Tell me what he did.
He got an attorney, he got advice, and he filed.
He sent money? Support money?
He did not? No.
Did he request visitation?
That would have been frivolous. The whole thing would have been frivolous for him to try to do anything.
Got an attorney, he got advice, and he filed an action?
He did. And that's what the law requires you to do. That's how you can force your rights. That's what a putative father is supposed to do. First question here probably is he didn't do it soon enough. He should have done it earlier. That gets back to, you know, it's easy to say that for us when you're dealing
with... I'm curious. The law is that if you haven't done anything for your child within years and within 6 months, all you have to do is file an action, get an attorney, and have that attorney give you advice, and that's sufficient to comply with the standards that you haven't abandoned the child.
It is certainly considerations, and it is a statutory requirement. But then, why else have a notice? Why notice the father if that isn't one of the...
Well, the first issue would be whether there's an abandonment. Is there a notice requirement if the father has abandoned the child?
Yes.
What section of the statute requires that?
43-104-08 and 12.
Are there exceptions to that?
No, the exception, no.
Not .22 is not an exception?
And then you got me there. I don't know what 22 is.
Okay. You think there's a notice requirement then, regardless of whether abandonment's an issue?
Yes. So long, yes. But it's in the statute.
So your argument would be there's a notice requirement regardless of abandonment, and so therefore the filing of that petition for the adoption was a nullity because there was no subject matter jurisdiction, and that six months prior to that filing of that petition is not the 6 months.
The filing is a nullity because there was no attachment to the declaration.
Right?
Yes.
Then, so your argument would be then that petition for adoption was a nullity.
Yes.
And the 6 months prior thereto is not the 6 months to examine.
Well, the 6 months prior, yes. Yes, it is. It would be, well, if it's a nullity, that's true. But if we're looking at a 6 month, when did the 6 month period begin? We had no other date in front of us except the filing date of June 26th. It was taken back to December 26th of the prior year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dawson, good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor. Please, Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, my name is Brad Dawson. I represent Misty and Jeremy Rinke, our appellees before the court here this morning. I truly believe that this case is before you prematurely. I don't think there has been a final order entered, and I don't think jurisdictional issues raised by Mr. Ryberg exist at all.
Well, counsel, you've got the favorable ruling. Now you're attacking the jurisdiction of the court to enter the order?
I don't think expediency is an excuse. I don't think the order is final. I truly don't.
Well, why isn't it final?
Because I think under the standard of the appellate statute, when we're dealing with a special proceeding, I understand that it's a substantial order affecting a substantial right of Mr. Franz. But isn't there an exception to that general rule of thumb that when there is the court's ability to act quickly after entering that order and completing its task, that the order is stayed from becoming final, or in fact never becomes final because of the ability of the trial court to act quickly.
I don't understand your argument.
It's not really an argument. It's an understanding that I have. And it's my understanding that if a substantial right is affected by the order of a child...
Well, if he's found to have abandoned the child, what other rights does he have in this case?
None.
Well, then why isn't that an order that affects a substantial right?
But they're saying that the pleading is defective because of jurisdictional issues, and they're saying that we didn't...
Well, you're making the argument, too, that there isn't a final... Your argument is there isn't a final order. Why isn't a determination of abandonment a final order that affects a substantial right?
It is. I agree that it is.
Why can't he appeal from that order?
Because I think trial court retained the power to complete its task because there was no danger of there being a long duration between the entry of this order and the completion of the task. And don't misunderstand me, I'm not harping in favor of
what was the task for the court to complete?
The 102 hearing, the 43-102 hearing, whereby the decree of adoption would be entered.
All the issues were over. The abandonment was game over.
No, that's not true. Because I think there are three other tasks.
Excuse me, but we're only talking about his right, not your rights.
Absolutely.
We're talking about his rights to appeal from a determination of whether or not he's had a final order that affects his rights.
I agree, and it does have a final order, and it does affect his rights. And if the court wishes to rule in that way, I will certainly accept that. I mean, that is better than I expected.
Well, I mean, the adoption isn't over yet, but if he's abandoned, the adoption may be over as to him.
It certainly is over as to him.
Well, that's why he's here.
But the court still has to go through the best interest standards.
Well, that's not the issue here. We're
no,
not talking.
Not. I agree with you entirely.
We're only talking about...
The question is, could the county court do those things before that point at which the abandonment issue has been resolved?
No, I don't believe so.
So then this has to be a final order. And we have to resolve this before the county court can go any further with the adoption.
Or I think the other option would have been to have had this order, and I'm not arguing your point, I think you're correct, but I think there's a secondary option whereby the court could have completed the task, whereby we would have had the entire record before this court this morning.
What you want is for the time to march on and complete the adoption before you all come up here.
But, counsel, that would not be expedient for the... On the other side, because after the adoption is done and the parties have adopted the child, then you come back in and make a determination that the parent, that the father hasn't abandoned the child, then you have to set aside the adoption.
I agree with you that would be...
So why don't we move on to the argument on no subject matter jurisdiction because the notification orders was not attached to the... Our letters were not attached to the petition.
Let's see, under Section 102, and I guess that's the point I'm trying to make, is they're claiming that I've made mistakes when I haven't been allowed to complete my task. Because under 43-102, those documents are to be filed before that hearing takes place.
Excuse me?
Those pleadings are to be filed before that hearing takes place, where the decree of adoption entered.
Not before the determination of abandonment takes place.
No, I don't believe that's true. And when Judge Turnbull announces that he is going to bifurcate these proceedings and he's going to hear one issue and one issue only...
Why do you suppose he did that?
Excuse me?
Why do you suppose he did that?
Oh, I don't suppose I know. He was very concerned about two cases that this court had decided just earlier that month or perhaps a month in advance. And he was very concerned about the liberty interests of a parent and a child, and he was very, very concerned about how you were interpreting the parental preference rule. And he instructed at the conclusion of that proceeding that it mattered to be briefed by both counsel, which were briefed. The trial briefs were introduced and submitted to the court before the ruling was issued.
I'm a little confused from the language of the order. It sounded to me like he decided not only the abandonment issue, which I understood to be the only issue he was going to decide, but then also the question of whether the adoption was in the best interest of the child. Am I missing something there?
No, you're not.
Well, part of that may be dicta.
I'd say anything concerning the best interest of the child in the adoption, in that opinion, would be dicta. I hadn't offered any evidence concerning.
But didn't he just say, I think it's in the best interest that an adoption proceed, not in the best interest that the adoption be granted?
I think if you read the front page of his order and the findings, he has a second sentence where he's included the best interest of the child.
Right.
And impliedly made that finding, which he shouldn't have. I agree with you entirely. That was overreaching the scope of the first hearing. I wish he hadn't have done so, but it is there.
So that's there. And getting back to subject matter jurisdiction, I anticipate that your argument is, if there was an abandonment, I would not need to attach the notices to the petition. But we didn't get there. I didn't have the opportunity to do that. Is that
truthfully? That is my argument in a nutshell. I was prohibited from using my evidence.
Okay. So if we were to find this to be a final order, make a determination on abandonment one way or the other, and then we send it back, you can finish the adoption.
I believe I can.
Okay.
Nobody is arguing that the adoption has been completed.
Excuse me?
No one is arguing that the adoption has been completed.
Well, I think there's an implication in Mr. Riber's brief that they believe that it is, but there is no decree.
Because of the additional language in the order, I think.
I agree. And I think he feels himself forestalled from proceeding further, and he likely is, but you're forestalled from further proceedings on the matter of abandonment solely. And at that point in time, I think my clients are excused from additional performance. I think the trial courts, in this case the County Court of Lincoln County, Nebraska, can move forward with the proceeding, and if it determines that the balance of my evidence meets the standards of law, it can enter the decree of adoption.
So your view is that all those notices are not necessary? Not necessary.
Once I've proven abandonment, I believe that that be true under 43.104.22.
That's the 0.22.
0.22, yes. I think if you read 43.104.17 together with 43.104.22, that's unexcused from performance.
So you don't need all those attachments to get going?
No. And plus, coupled with the fact I'm trying to tell or say is I don't think they're due yet. I have up until the day we have the decree hearing within which to file those documents.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have no time for rebuttal. Is that correct? We have no time for rebuttal. We'll go on to the next case for the day, which is State versus Jeffrey Lamb. Justice Wright is...